My guest at this time is Lars Christensen. He's the CEO of Saxo Bank, which is based in Denmark but has many locations across the European continent. He joins us now because he's in America to explain about the dangers he believes this country is facing if it heads down the same path as much of Europe has in recent years and decades. And Mr. Christensen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're concerned that America is headed down the path of what's known as European socialism. Before we talk about the parallels, explain what you mean by that term, European socialism.
European socialism is, a system whereby there's very generous entitlements, a lot of social transfer payments, tendency to victimize people so they go on social welfare instead of actually being active in the labor market. And the real risk of it is when too large a component of the total population are on social transfer systems, they become self-sustaining and increase because simply a majority or very large part of the voter base will have no interest in promoting free markets and liberty, but will have much more direct interest in increasing the size of government, of state, and of the transfer payments that they benefit from.
What do you see as the greatest indicators that the United States is headed in that same direction?
I certainly believe, looking from the outside, that there's a number of U.S. politicians that have a somewhat romanticized view of what a European social welfare state, not least Scandinavian social welfare states, where I come from Denmark, and have a view of everything being very rosy because of a lot of public services being free. And a lot of people receiving significant and generous benefits. And the reality is that may be the case. It also means that you have an enormous tax pressure that is extremely destructive to incentivizing business and growth and individual entrepreneurship. It is, as I say, a model that tends to destroy many people's self-respect and tends to create victims, even from people that could live a normal, productive life. They get convinced about having some sort of role as a victim that needs support from the government. And, of course, a lot of people that live from providing social services and live from working for the government has a direct interest in growing their number of clients. And in my country, for example, 65% of the voters are dependent on the state, either in the form of being on a social transfer payment of some sort, or simply working for the public sector. There's only about 35% of the population that works in the private sector, generating all the necessary wealth for the entire system. And as you can imagine, a system where 65% of the voters basically have an intrinsic interest in receiving more from the government, that's not a very healthy place to develop capitalist values and develop economic growth. And it is not something to be envied, and it's not something that is desirable. And I think it's important that the U.S. don't go down that route, also because it's very hard to reverse, because once you do have a majority of the voters dependent on the government, it's extremely hard to turn around because, of course, people will tend to vote in favor of what they see as their most immediate interest.
We're talking with Lars Christensen. He's the CEO of Saxo Bank. And Lars, you talked about this a little bit, but when folks think about what's gotten European countries to the brink of collapse, we think of Greece especially, but also to some extent Spain and Italy. The Scandinavian countries really don't get on our radar screen, and that's probably because they're not in the same precarious situation as these other countries yet. But what's going on in the Scandinavian countries right now that folks should be paying attention to as a harbinger of what may be to come?
Well, I think what is interesting is that, of course, the southern European countries, Greece in particular, are behaving more irresponsibly than northern European countries, i.e. they use a lot of money in the public sector without having the income to match. One thing you do have to say to, for example, the Danish government, We do have the highest tax pressure in the world of all nations, including higher than places like Cuba, believe it or not, right? But at least they don't spend an enormous amount beyond that, which means that in the foreseeable future we have reasonable debt to GDP ratios and can therefore sustain it for a while. But of course the cost of that is that that the taxation levels are enormous. You know, the Danish tax pressure is 49% of GDP. In the U.S., it's about 27% of GDP. So if you can imagine what that means when you have to generate that much more revenue, you can feel it in your income tax at 60%. You can see it on your 42% capital gains tax. You can see it on your 25% sales tax. You can see it on your $10 a gallon of gasoline. You could go on and on and on.
Now, Lars, there is obviously a debate going on in the European countries. There's a debate going on in this country. In this country, it's been couched by some as the 1% versus the 99%. And people see your title. You're the CEO of a major European bank. They say, well, he's in the 1%, so of course he would be against more government assistance for those who aren't as well off as him. How would you react to that argument?
I think that actually the situation is the exact opposite, and this really fails to be seen in the public debate. I think that actually the reason, one of the main reasons that you should make it attractive to run a business, that you should not overtax people, you should incentivize creating new businesses, you should make it attractive to go to your nation and work, you should be attractive to be an entrepreneur, is actually because if you don't have those things, you're not going to generate the enormous wealth that is necessary in order to obtain the economic foundation for all these services. So actually, I think that if anybody, the person that's dependent on a big social welfare payment transfer in Denmark, he more than anyone needs a sustainable business environment that can actually continue to create the wealth. So the amazing thing here is that we are in exactly the same position, both the entrepreneur and the 1%, if you will, although we have a much more egalitarian society, so I don't think you can really deploy those percentages in Europe. Making sure that part of society has an interest in generating business and wealth is absolutely critical for the people that don't do it themselves. So I actually don't think there's any kind of conflict of interest there. On the contrary, if anybody needs a strong and productive part of the economy, that's the people that are dependent on the money that flows from that part of the economy.
Two-part question to close here, Mr. Christensen. First of all, how close do you think the United States is to being on the same path as some of these European countries? And secondly, what's the impact not only on our own economy, but on the larger international economy if we do end up there?
You know, I think the U.S. is in a much better position than Europe, mainly because it's much more part of your nature to value freedom, to value creativity, to value the American dream, if you will. We don't have much of that in Europe. Those values are gone. So as a nation, I think you have a much better point of departure. But what worries me today is, and that's kind of a bit of a contrarian view, but today we have socialists in Europe pointing to the U.S. to explain to me, well, if it's good enough for the U.S., it's got to be good enough here. You guys on the right, you always said that the U.S. was a better, more capitalistic society to emulate, and look, now they're doing the same as we're doing. So the day where the U.S. begins to be an argument for socialists legitimizing and justifying what they're doing in Europe, that's the day where I'm concerned, and that's what I'm seeing now. And you should never underestimate that. Of course, the U.S. is still the world's leading nation. The economic performance of the U.S. is critically important to also to Europe. But what is also extremely important are the political signals that comes from the U.S. And if the U.S. starts to send out signals that sort of legitimizes the socialist in Europe, I think we're on a very bad track. And what I would just remind people is that this is, of course, a choice you have. But the problem is that when socialism is truly ingrained in the society, and you do have the situation that more than half of the voting population have an intrinsic preference for a greater state, you can't really turn it around anymore. Freedom and capitalism, you can always turn around. You can always destroy something that's good and free. But once you have an ingrained socialistic bias in a democratic state, you simply cannot really realistically expect to turn it around. So you may have that choice today, but if you make the wrong choices, you may not have those choices 10 or 20 years from now. And I think that's very, very important to be aware of.
Lars, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Lars Christensen is CEO of Saxo Bank, based in Denmark, but locations throughout the European continent. He's in the United States this week explaining why he believes the United States is in danger of heading down the road towards European socialism and why that would be a catastrophic mistake for the U.S. and much of the rest of the world. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.